You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
Just let this sink in on this Monday morning, this first day of Passover, which means all the Jewish students at many universities, elite universities, they'll be home with their families, which is good because it might be the only safe place they can go. They've been asked to leave campus at Columbia. They've been asked to get out while the tempers flare and the pro-Hamas scumbags chant for, oh, nothing much, just the death of Israel. They're just you know, angry about the war in Gaza. So they're saying, we love Hamas. We'll get to it. Yes. People in New York City last night were chanting, Hamas, we love you. We love you. We have the sound, but we have to give you the latest because it is getting worse, much worse. The tent city on Columbia's campus, which was dismantled at the end of last week, it's back. There's more tents. There's more agitators, outside agitators and Columbia students. In Yale right now, as I speak, they're defying the police. The police said, you've got to leave right now. We've got to break up this illegal occupation or you'll be arrested. Well, they're not leaving. They're chanting. They're screaming. They want to get arrested, apparently, because, hey, they know there'll be no price to pay. They know they won't be expelled. They won't spend a day in jail. It's the new Occupy Wall Street, the new Black Lives Matter, the new climate change. The new cause is anti-Semitism. That's all it is, plain and simple. Someone needs to explain this to me. Some Jewish kid who's attending Columbia or Yale, he's trying to get a degree in engineering or economics. Why is it his fault that there's a war 6,000 miles away? I know these people are deranged. I know they're incoherent. But can someone explain to me how some Jewish kid from New York or Connecticut or wherever who's attending Northwestern or Yale or MIT is to blame for what Israel's doing in Gaza? I mean, it upsets you. I understand. You don't want them to continue this war. You want to protect Hamas, these baby-killing scumbag savages. That's your cause. Those are your guys. What does a Jewish kid in Hartford, Connecticut have to do with a war in Israel? Can someone, I know these people are stupid. I know they're insane, but can someone explain that to me? What some American Jewish student has to do with that war? They are attacking people because they look Jewish. Can you get this video? It's a short video, but it's a kid just trying to get across campus, and he's Jewish, and he's proudly Jewish. He looks Jewish. He has a hat on that makes him look Jewish. I don't know what you call that, but he's just trying to get to his dorm, and they set up this human chain and block him from walking from one place to another. They harass him because he's Jewish. That's not pro-Palestine. That's just flat out anti-Semitism, and it's getting uglier and darker by the day. And very few public officials, I mean, no Democrats are calling this out. No one in D.C., if they talk about it at all, It's to express their support for these little Nazis. I mentioned this on Twitter, and I'm serious. We are heading towards Kristallnacht in this country. Kristallnacht is generally considered the beginning of the Holocaust in Germany. It's when they burned Jewish businesses, beat up Jewish people, and the government, the Nazis, looked on with pleasure. There were like, 267 synagogues burned to the ground. It was in November of, let me get the exact date of Kristallnacht. November 9th, 1938, 85 years ago. And they just ransacked Jewish homes, businesses, and made it clear everything wrong with their country was the fault of the Jews. I don't think it's hyperbole to say we're heading in that direction. The people, the anti-Semites, the little Hitler youth in this country are feeling emboldened. Their numbers are growing. Their cause is somehow been elevated, and they're blaming Jewish people for what the Israeli Defense Forces are doing 6,000 miles away. Someone has to make that connection for me because I'm not seeing it. This was yesterday in New York City. A prominent rabbi called for, let me get his name, rabbi on campus at Columbia, told Jewish students to go home. The campus isn't safe. Today, classes are being held on Zoom. They're being taught remotely because if they go to campus, if they go to class, they might get assaulted. They will most assuredly get harassed for being Jewish. Maybe they don't even support the war. Maybe they don't even care about the war. Maybe they're busy getting their degree. Doesn't matter. They can't go to class. They can't go to school. This is from this is from the New York Post. A prominent rabbi at Columbia warned Jewish students to go home Sunday and not return to campus because of, quote, extreme anti-Semitism. His name is Rabbi Eli Bushler. He told the students on a WhatsApp message to go home. Don't come back. It's not safe. A Jewish girl on the campus was assaulted with a flagpole to the face. She said she hit her in the eye for walking across campus, for daring to go to class. Now, this would be bad if we could all condemn it. Clearly, we should. But you will hear no condemnation. KJP, and we'll get to that moron, KJP put out a statement, said, you know, they condemn whatever, all acts of hate, and mentioned Charlottesville. Well, Charlottesville was one day, one regrettable day in this country. This has been going on for weeks, months, and it's not slowing down. Again, they're returning. When they leave, when they get chased off their little chops on campus for a day, they come back the next day. They get arrested, they come back the next day. They're not going anywhere. It's going to get worse, darker, and more disgusting. It's spreading to other campuses. We now have a tent city at MIT. MIT, which is generally considered an elite university where only the smartest kids go, has been taken over by the dumbest, worst people in our society. These are just awful, evil people who are chanting for their support for a group that killed babies, a group that raped corpses that burned families alive, a group that is still holding at least 130 hostages, including at least 6 Americans. They're holding and torturing Americans and all across America, all across college campuses. They have support, real, visceral, emotional support of Americans. How did we get to this place? How is this even condoned by public officials? The only thing you've heard from the squad or any Democrat except John Fetterman is the condemnation of the police for arresting these scumbags, including Ilhan Omar's daughter, which I'll get to. But right now, they're in at Yale. As the sun comes up and the sun comes out, and it's a beautiful day, they're chasing Jewish students off the Yale campus and expressing their support for Hamas. Last night at Columbia, I'm going to go over this whole. Here's what you heard on the campus of an elite Ivy League college. Here are some of the chants, and we can play them, but you can't quite make them all. Let's play it. And then I'll run down the chants which were heard on a college campus in this country last night. Play this, Ironhead, and then we'll go over it. What you just heard, and you got everything. You got Palestinian flags, signs. Was Al-Qassam make us proud? Take another soldier out. Al-Qassam is the military wing of Hamas. Here's what else you heard. We say justice, you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. Here's my favorite. Quote, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. Red, black, green, white. We support Hamas's fight. It is right to rebel. Al-Qassam, give them hell. It is right to rebel. Hamas, give them hell. In New York City, they're chanting, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. This is an amazing moment in this country. People in New York City, not far, by the way, or uptown from the World Trade Center. They're chanting their support of Islamic terror. They're waving Palestinian flags, Hezbollah flags, and burning American flags. This is going on in our country. Meanwhile, the Biden DOJ is trying to put a great-grandmother in prison for a year because she walked through the Capitol and prayed for 10 minutes. There's a jail full of people in D.C. who walked through the Capitol waving American flags. Those people are in jail. These people are chanting support for Hamas. Where's the FBI? The FBI is knocking on people's doors because of Facebook posts opposing Joe Biden. That's what your FBI is doing today. They're not here looking at these fine people who are chanting support for terrorists who shot kids in the face 6 months ago. Tell me the difference here. If this were March 2022 and people were chanting, Al-Qaeda, we love you, what would Americans say? What would your average American say? They'd be disgusted. What's the difference? This was Israel's 9/11. 1,200 people, innocent people, slaughtered by these savages 6 months ago, and it's like it never happened. It's like there's not a reason that Israel is hunting down Hamas terrorists and killing them. And they're going to talk about war and innocent people dying in wars. Innocent people die in every war. The percentage of innocent people, civilians, who are dying in Gaza in comparison to Hamas soldiers, savages, is better than the percentage of innocent people who died in Iraq or Afghanistan. In fact, in any modern war, if these people are so upset about war, why don't they have anything to say about Syria or Sudan or any of the dozens of other wars, conflicts that are going on right now? Why is this the only war that upsets these people? I will answer that. Because of the Jews. This is just flat out anti-Semitism. They're upset because it is the Jewish state who's hunting down their friends in Hamas. It's not about innocent people dying. Innocent people are dying around the world. They don't care. They're not upset. They're not protesting because of the death of innocent people in Nigeria or Sudan. No, they're upset because the Jews are doing it. They're just anti-Semites. They're the modern Hitler youth, and they're not stopping. It is sickening what's going on. And what will you hear from Joe Biden today? Nothing. What will you hear from AOC or Ayanna Pressley or Liz Warren or Ed Markey or any of these radicals? Nothing. This is happening in real time today. And you'll hear nothing from our leaders, our elected leaders, or certainly not from Democrats who are gung-ho to send our money to Ukraine. And we'll get to those anti-American frauds. But why isn't this not top of mind for everybody, for every elected official? Why aren't they calling for the FBI or the DOJ to look into these people who are flat out supporting our enemy, Hamas? Why? Because they hate Jews. That's all. They hate Jews, and they're not stopping. Can we get to KJP? This is so pathetic. You've heard nothing from Joe Biden. He sends out this incompetent boob, KJP, the dumbest, the worst diversity hire in an administration full of them. And she's asked the other day about this. This is all you've gotten from the Biden regime. This is it on the condemnation of these protests, which are breaking out all over the country. Let's listen to this fool.
What does the president think about young people in America saying things like, "We are all Hamas, and long live Hamas"?
Okay. I will say, look, this is a president that has been, since he's been in office, and the reason why he ran has been very clear about what he witnessed in Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, what he witnessed, and that lie again, that the reason he ran for president is because of Charlottesville. Well, we got a Charlottesville going on like every day. Has anyone been murdered? They're going to be. It's coming. And it's going to be some innocent Jewish person because they're to blame for what's happening in Gaza. It's just sick. It's disgusting. How can anybody not condemn this? I would love to know. Hey, here's at Northwestern yesterday. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Israel has got to go. Let me ask you, if you said that about anywhere else, if you said that about Palestine, hey, hey, ho, ho, Palestine has got to go, you don't think you'd be shut down, arrested? You don't think every Democrat would be calling for you to be charged with a hate crime? What if you said any other country, hey, hey, ho, ho, China has got to go? That would be our most... that would be the biggest threat to this country, China. If you said China has got to go, they'd all be condemning you. But Israel, country of 9 million people, our ally, and you said they've got to go? The country has got to go? What would anybody be saying about that? It would be outrageous. But we accept this. These are college students and some outside agitators, probably funded by some far left George Soros type, and you can say Israel has got to go? What the hell is going on in this country? It is a dark, scary time. And all you can ask is, what next? They've been emboldened. They've been allowed to do this. What are they going to do next? Burn a Jewish business? I mean, they're calling for boycotts of Jewish businesses. That's step one. That's the precursor to Kristallnacht. You know, boycott Jewish businesses. Don't allow them to live among us. Jewish people. We don't want them. We hate them. That's all this is about. Not about the war. This is just anti-Semitism spreading across the country on Passover. Truly frightening. But there is a little bit of good news. As we know, Ilhan Omar's daughter was arrested. She's a Barnard student. She was arrested in New York. Check this out from the New York Post today. The privileged daughter of Minnesota Rep. Ilhan Omar claims She's homeless and can't get food after being kicked out of her prestigious $90,000 a year Barnard College dorm following her arrest at the anti-Israel protests on Columbia's campus last week. Isra Hirsi, 21, and a handful of other Barnard students were slapped with suspensions after they were among more than 100 protesters cuffed and hauled away for refusing to clear their encampment. Quote, I was a little bit frantic, like, where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to go? She said to Teen Vogue after learning she'd been evicted from her campus. They're shocked when there's any repercussions for their actions. They commit a crime, they have to pay for the crime, and they can't believe it. She says, I had all my shit thrown in a random lot. It's pretty horrible. Oh, I have like 4 shirts, 2 pairs of pants. I don't know when I can go home. I don't know if I will ever be able to. Well, that's the good news. Hopefully all of these scumbags have no home to go to because they were warned. You must leave or you'll be arrested. But like her mother, they just think you can hate this country, defy the police, commit crimes, and live happily ever after. It truly is. These are just disgusting people, disgusting anti-American people. And as we talked about last week, the reporter Hillary Vaughn from Fox Business confronted some of them. Katie Porter, that disgusting person. AOC, Ayanna Pressley, asked them if they condemn chance of death to America. They asked them if they condemn burning the American flag, and none of them did. They don't. They support it. We have people in Congress who support death to America, who support burning the American flag. I don't remember a time when that was the case. We are in a new and dark and dangerous place where elected officials support people who chant death to America and support Hamas, the military wing of Hamas. Yes, we love you, Hamas, in New York City in 2024. This is not going to end well. This is not just going to fizzle out. The war is going to continue. Israel's determined to take out Hamas, as they should, and we should support them. But instead, we have groups that will say nothing to denounce, will not denounce terrorists who killed Americans. You can't go to one of these rallies, one of these protests, and say anything negative about Hamas. They don't say, let's just have peace, let's just have a ceasefire on both sides. They support the terrorists and they hate Israel. Frightening, sickening, disgusting time in Joe Biden's America. We will get to the vote on Ukraine and the reaction of Democrats. You want to talk about disgusting? We'll get to that. And Joe Biden, the Biden administration, is suing a convenience store chain. You're not going to believe why. We talked about it last week. Here's what happens with Joe Biden. If you offend him, he will come after you with the full force of the federal government. Well, he made an appearance at a convenience store last week and nobody showed up. It was humiliating, like most Joe Biden appearances. He's getting his revenge. We'll tell you about that and much more. But first,
excuse me.
Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. That's it. Tastes great. I like the raspberry lemonade flavor, and it has completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. You know what I do? I replace my afternoon cup of coffee, which I really don't need, with Field of Greens. Get way more energy throughout the day, sleeping better throughout the night, healthier hair, healthier skin. It helps with digestion. My stomach feels better, feeling better and healthier overall. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy, and you can too. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they will give you 100% money back. I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Jerry. That's promo code G-E-R-R-Y at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Right, if you weren't paying attention this weekend, if you were just checking out, and I don't blame you, because, man, there's some really depressing developments. Congress, the House, passed an aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and they were pretty happy about it. We now have a majority leader in Congress who's a total fraud, Mike Johnson, who's a disgrace, who's just a spineless slug doing the bidding of Joe Biden and Hakeem Jeffries, forcing this vote. Every single Democrat, everyone voted for it. I believe it was 212. 100 Republicans joined us to send another $61 billion to Ukraine to keep this war going. There's not enough dead Ukrainian men to make these people happy. They love pointless foreign wars, and they want to keep that one going forever for whatever reason. Every Democrat, by the way, I pointed out one of them, Barbara Lee, this total whack job. She's been in Congress for a long time. In 2001, 3 days after 9/11, they took a vote in Congress. It was almost unanimous to go after Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. She voted against it. She was against our invasion of Afghanistan to go after bin Laden 3 days after 9/11. No, she didn't want war. War is not the answer. 20 years later, 22 years later, she voted to keep the Ukraine war going endlessly. Just good money after bad. It's now up to, I believe, close to $200 billion to Ukraine to keep fighting, keep dying. So far, the amount of land that has been conquered by Russia is a little sliver. They've taken a little bit of land, 2 years and 3 months, and hundreds of thousands of dead Ukrainians and Russians. And it's not enough for these war pigs in Washington. They want to just keep it going forever. So they take the vote, they win, Republicans and Democrats, they're thrilled. Oh, good. We're $34 trillion in debt. We're going to send another $61 billion to Zelensky and his corrupt regime. Wasn't enough to just take the vote and say, yeah, Putin bad. They pass out Ukrainian flags and wave them in Congress, in the halls of Congress. These are people who wouldn't be caught dead waving an American flag. These are people who won't condemn the burning of the American flag. And they're waving the flag of a country 5,000 miles away they couldn't find on a map. They're supporting a war that does nothing to improve the lives of Americans. They don't care about Americans. They don't care about American interests. They're all in for Ukraine. This bill including nothing for the border, nothing. That's how pathetic Mike Johnson is. He pushes for this bill, talks about Putin and, you know, fight for democracies, if Ukraine's a democracy, and says, you know, we'll get to the border another time. Let me ask people who keep talking about Putin, Putin, Putin. Every time I tweet about this or talk about this, what is a bigger threat to us here in America? Putin? Or the 10 million illegals who've come across our southern border. Some of them are terrorists, drug dealers, gangbangers. Some of them are evil people that have been let out of prisons in Venezuela. Are they a bigger threat, or is Putin a bigger threat? The nonsense that Putin, who's been bogged down in Ukraine for 2 years, is somehow going to roll over Ukraine and into Poland and conquer Europe if we don't send another $60 billion. It's just a lie. This thing is such a boondoggle. We don't spend a nickel on our border. On their border, that's big. We got to send money to protect Ukraine's border, but not our border. I've never seen a bigger sellout of the American people than this display we saw Saturday in Congress. By the way, the last people who waved the American flag in the halls of Congress, they're in prison in D.C. You know, they're insurrectionists. The great-grandmother who walked through the halls of Congress for 10 minutes, she's going to be sentenced in August. They're going to try to put her in prison for a year, for walking in the, for being allowed into Congress, into the Capitol and praying. These friggin' anti-American, these disgusting warmongers. Here's Virginia Congressman Gerald Connolly explaining why they ignore our border, our wide open southern border, and spend all this money to protect Ukraine's border. Go ahead.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border.
What the hell? The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. By the way, I got to add this. Not only are we sending $61 billion to Ukraine and I don't think we should be sending $26 billion to Israel. Israel is a prosperous country, an affluent country. We should sell them arms, sell them weapons. God knows the Iron Dome has been glorious. But if our debt is bigger than Israel's or Taiwan's, why are we sending them our money? We don't have the money. We can support them. We can sell them what they need. Why are we giving them money? Why are we giving Zelensky more money? You think the next $60 billion, oh, that'll make the difference? He'll win the war? These people are delusional. And they don't even want to know where the money's coming from or where it's going. They just want to take the vote, say they support democracy, say they hate Putin, and wave the Ukrainian flag. Do we have that video? It's absolutely nauseating of Congress people waving the Ukrainian flag.
Here's, get it. One second.
Here's the reaction to Republicans. They tried to hand the flags to everybody, and most Republicans, I believe, said, no, I'm good. I'm not going to do that. They're introducing legislation. This is from the Washington Examiner. A Republican lawmaker is looking to restrict the display of foreign countries' emblems inside the House chamber after Democrats waved the Ukrainian flag in celebration of the passage of the $61 billion aid legislation. Shortly before the foreign aid bills passed the House, Democrats were seen cheering while waving the Ukrainian flags, prompting rebuke from spineless squish Mike Johnson, who warned the display was a violation of House decorum. So it's cool spending $61 billion, but waving the flag really upsets this pathetic little worm. Quote, watching Americans' representatives pass out and wave Ukrainian flags in the U.S. House of Representatives infuriated me, said Rep. Kat Kamek of Florida. If there is one room in our country that should only have American flags present, it is this room. Now, this is fine. Pass this legislation, but that doesn't change what we're looking at. People who would never wave the American flag, would never put a lapel pin of the American flag, literally cheering and waving the flag of a foreign country that they know nothing about, that they literally couldn't find on a map. And they're waving the flag and cheering for this country in 5,000 miles away. Sickening. One person who voted no took a lot of crap, and this pissed me off. Her name is Victoria Spatz. She's a congresswoman from Indiana, and she's from Ukraine. That's where she grew up, Ukraine. She voted no, of course, because she doesn't think we have the money and doesn't want this war to continue and doesn't want another 100,000 dead Ukrainians. Where the average age of the soldiers is now 43 years old. They're They're drafting old men, teenage boys, special needs people, anyone to throw in the meat grinder and die for Viva Ukraine. This was a tweet from a prominent, left-wing influencer, Karim Rifai. She writes, Ukrainian-born Rep. Victoria Spatz voted no on Ukraine aid. Last week, her hometown of Chernihiv was bombarded by Russia, killing over a dozen civilians. Her hometown? She's a representative from Indiana. She lives in Noblesville, Indiana. She was elected by people in Indiana. She's paid by the American taxpayer. And these sick people think her loyalty should lie with the country she was born in, and she should just give them money and keep dying for Zelensky. This woman has courage. She has guts. She stood up and said no more. And they are ripping her because she's abandoning her hometown. No, she wants the war to end. Again, a weekend of Ukraine debate, discussion, flag waving, and nobody says maybe we should settle this. Maybe we should have a ceasefire in Ukraine. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Maybe this sliver of land can go to Russia and this sliver of land can go to Ukraine and people can stop dying, as Trump would say. Trump, by the way, agreed that we should send money to Ukraine. An absolute idiotic position to take at this point. Just stop. End the war. Sit down. Settle it. Why are these people, why are Democrats, why are they all so gung-ho about a ceasefire in Israel, but never even mention a ceasefire in Ukraine? Doesn't even come up. Truly remarkable. And again, no end, no end game, no plan to end this ever. Let's just keep sending them money, sending them weapons, and let a generation of Ukrainian men die for democracy. Just insane. And no one can explain how this helps Americans, how it improves the lives of Americans at all, because it doesn't. It's not in our interest, unless you're an arms manufacturer or you're Joe Biden's family. Sending money to Ukraine doesn't help the lives of an average American at all in any way. But it won, passed overwhelmingly with the help of 100 Republicans. All should be ashamed of themselves. I want to mention this before we move on. You know what's in this bill? No one's even mentioned this, but I looked it up. $9 billion for Hamas. They'll say, oh, it's for humanitarian aid. We've already seen the video. We know humanitarian aid goes to Hamas in Gaza. We're sending $9 billion to Hamas, $26 billion to Israel. We're funding both sides of that war. But this is even more amazing. In the bill, $4 billion for, quote, migration and refugee assistance. So there's no money to close the border, but there is $4 billion for the NGOs who are facilitating the invasion. They're literally Mike Johnson and 100 Republicans are paying to continue the invasion, not to stop it, to continue it. They're paying for migration and refugee assistance. So your money is going to keep the southern border open, but fight to protect the border of Ukraine. Was a truly shameful day in D.C. over the weekend. And again, no end in sight. Just keep the war going. Keep it going forever. And no one mentions how that improves the lives of Americans, because it doesn't. All right, we got to get to this story, this wild story about what the Biden administration is doing for retribution to a convenience store where he appeared last week. It's amazing. And Trump is in court right now. So in New York right now, Donald Trump, the trial begins. They're trying to put the former president in prison for a bookkeeping violation, a completely insane, made-up crime. They want to put him in jail. And a few blocks north, way north of this trial, they're chanting, "Hamas, we love you." That's happening in New York today.
Excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia hair thinning therapy from Chamonix is here and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, last week we showed you two appearances at convenience stores in Pennsylvania when Joe Biden was out campaigning while Donald Trump was tied up in court. By the way, here's a great idea somebody had. I'm stealing it. You know what Trump should do today when the court breaks? Because they're getting out early for Passover. I believe they're ending at 2 o'clock today. He should take his motorcade, drive straight north to the campus of Columbia and find a few Jewish students and make an appearance with them. Cameras are all there. The protests are raging. The tents are back. Trump appears on campus at Columbia. I mean, he can't go to swing states. He can't go where he belongs because Joe Biden has him tied up in court. But wouldn't that be great? I mean, last week at the bodega in Harlem was brilliant. This would be just as effective. Go to Columbia today, Donald Trump. There's still a few kids on campus, Jewish kids. They've been speaking to the media. They're talking about how scared they are, talking about being assaulted, spit at. Walk the campus with them. Tell me that wouldn't be a great visual. That would be just as effective as the bodega appearance. And he can talk about, you know, the Jewish vote, which is usually overwhelmingly Democrat. I'm not sure they're going to get, you know, 70% of the Jewish vote, Biden, this time. But do it, Donald. You can do it. You got time. Get out at 2 o'clock, straight north to Columbia, and make it an issue, because it is a huge issue, what's going on in this country, and our president's refusal to condemn it. I mean, he has to at some point. He has to be asked about it, and he'll, you know, talk about Charlottesville, or maybe he'll talk about his uncle again getting eaten by cannibals, or some other just incoherent thought, but force the issue, Donald. Well, after Joe Biden appeared at the convenience store, which is called Sheetz, a chain of 700 convenience stores across six states, the Biden administration is suing the store, the chain, the company. You want to know why? Because they did background checks of potential employees, like criminal background checks, because they didn't want to hire criminals. I thought every company did that. But that's what Sheetz does. Here's the story from the AP from yesterday. The Sheetz convenience store chain has been hit with a lawsuit by federal officials who allege the company discriminated against minority job applicants. Sheetz discriminated against Black, Native American, and multiracial job seekers. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Well, here's how they did it. By automatically weeding out applicants whom the company did seem to have failed a criminal background check. And it mentions Joe Biden stopped at Sheetz for snacks last week. The Equal Opportunity Commission filed a suit in Baltimore against the Pennsylvania-based Sheetz, alleging their longstanding hiring practices have a disproportionate impact on minorities. She said, quote, it does not tolerate discrimination of any kind. So they do background checks. And if you're a criminal, they don't hire you. And Joe Biden, the Biden regime, calls that racial discrimination because they don't want to hire criminals. That is amazing. There's no one more racist than Joe Biden. No one more racist than Democrats in D.C. They're the ones who say minorities aren't capable of getting a ID to vote. You know, so if you ask for an ID, you're racist. Well, now if you do a background check to see if the person you might hire is a criminal, you know, maybe he was convicted of robbing a convenience store, and you really don't want to hire criminals, you're racist. And the Biden administration will come after you with the full force of the federal government. You know, it's amazing. Every day we hear, over the weekend, Hillary Clinton was saying, you can't elect Donald Trump. He'll imprison his enemies. He'll use the DOJ, the FBI to go after his enemies. That's exactly what Joe Biden is doing. That is the ultimate projection. Joe Biden is trying to stop a company from doing background checks because he says it's racist. Man, incredible, incredible. All right. You would think if I asked you, where's the most expensive place to live in this country? Go ahead, Ironhead. You probably haven't even read this story. So what would you say is the most expensive place to live?
California, probably.
I would have guessed California, too. I would have guessed California. I would have guessed New York.
Yeah.
Maybe Hawaii. Maybe, I don't know, Palm Beach. You'd be wrong. The most expensive place is where I'm sitting right now, and you're sitting right now, Massachusetts. This is unbelievable. It's from CNBC. The most expensive state to raise a family of four isn't New York or California. It's Massachusetts, according to a recent smart asset study. To live comfortably in Massachusetts, a family of two working adults and two children would need to earn $301,184. $300,000 to live in this state. Comfortable is defined as an income needed to cover a 50-30-20 budget for a family of four. That's 50% of your earnings for necessities, such as housing and utilities, 30% for discretionary spending, 20% for savings. Smart Asset extrapolated the income needed using data from the MIT Living Wage Calendar. Massachusetts, 301,000. Hawaii, 294. Connecticut, 279. New York, 278. California, 276. So it's more expensive to raise a family of four in Massachusetts when you add everything up than anywhere in the country. And by the way, we have this far left lunatic governor who's working hard to make it more expensive, looking at raising taxes, hiring just these radical nuts. Because one big reason, because we're a sanctuary state. I believe we're the only sanctuary state, and we are welcoming illegal aliens into this state and handing them free money, free housing, free phones, and same day dry cleaning, free. For that, the taxpayers must pay. And for that reason, this is now the most expensive state in the country. However, some of the people making $300,000, I got to get to this. They have one thing going for them. Some of them, many of them, qualify for Joe Biden's student debt forgiveness. Now, we know we've been talking about this scam for a while now. Joe Biden has defied the Supreme Court and canceled student debt for deadbeats with graduate degrees. 57% of the people eligible have graduate degrees. You're talking doctors and lawyers and college professors. You want to hear? This is just amazing. I heard this and said, I got to read up on this and look this up to believe it. This is from the New York Post. President Biden's latest loan cancellation plans will increase the total cost to taxpayers to a whopping $559 billion. And benefit households earning more than $300,000 in annual income according to a new study. You know where the study's from? University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. University of Pennsylvania is the place that pays Joe Biden for doing nothing. They gave him $1 million a year to be a professor who never taught a class. University of Pennsylvania is where Biden hides many of his documents, probably classified documents. Mm-hmm. They're a friend to Joe Biden. Anyway, the University of Penn's Wharton School, their model estimates that several new student loan debt cancellation provisions announced by Biden will cost taxpayers $84 billion over the next 10 years. Aside from the price tag, the model finds the new plan will relieve some long-term student debt for 750,000 households making an average of $312,000. You make 300 grand. You're a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. You make 300 grand. You don't have to pay your student loans back. This is Joe Biden's plan to win young voters. This and placating the lunatics who support Hamas. Everything he does is designed to help him win re-election, even though he's incompetent, even though he's incapable of campaigning. He wants you to vote for him, and he will wipe out your, I shouldn't say wipe out, he will transfer your debt to people making 50 grand a year, to people delivering your Amazon packages or filling potholes in the street or putting a roof on your house. Those people will pay for people, pay the debts of people making $312,000. It is scary the lengths he will go to win this next election. He won't close the border. No, 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 God, no. Those people are coming, and they're hopefully, if you're Biden, you're hoping they'll vote Democrat, hopefully soon. Eventually, they'll all be Democrats, so let them in, and then just make working people pay the debts for deadbeats with graduate degrees, and Democrats are all in. This is the most important issue to my Congresswoman, Ayanna Pressley, and my senior Senator, Liz Warren. They're all in on forgiving the debt of people making 300 grand, which is what you have to make to live in this country. All right, before we go, we got a minute. We got to play it because my prediction is it's coming again. Joe Biden will repeat the cannibal story, which was absurd on so many levels. Just made up a story about Uncle Bosie, his uncle who died in World War II. It's not enough to have your uncle die in service to this country. He has to dramatize it and say that his uncle was probably eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. Well, he'll never get asked about it because he's never been asked about the laptop. He doesn't get asked about all the money he's made from China. He won't get asked today. He won't get asked about these people rooting for Hamas. But KJP, thankfully, Peter Ducey's there in the front row, was asked about Uncle Bosie getting eaten by cannibals. Let's watch.
And I agree. Second Lieutenant Ambrose J. Finnegan was a war hero. But the Pentagon says, for unknown reasons, the plane was forced to ditch in the ocean. Both engines failed at low altitude. Why is President Biden saying he was shot down? There's no evidence of that. And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That's a bad way to go.
He lost his life. It's not, look, I'm not, we should not make jokes about
it's
this.
Not, President Biden said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
I mean, your last line is for a laugh. It's for a funny statement. And he takes this very seriously. His uncle, who served and protected this country, lost his life serving. And that should matter. You have a president that lifts up our U.S. troops, our American veterans, every day, who thinks about them, who actually thinks they're all heroes, and they are. And you have a former president who disrespects that, who doesn't honor that. Said it as president, suckers or losers.
There's your new rule. Your new rule from this moron is you can't joke about cannibals eating Uncle Bosie. The president takes it very seriously. He makes up stories. He lies like he breathes. But we're supposed to take it seriously and not mock this fool. by the way. This is a guy who ignores Gold Star families, who wouldn't meet with the families of the warriors. He got killed at Abbey Gate. He takes it very seriously. Yeah, sure he does. No joking about cannibals. Well, you can be sure, you know, Saturday Night Live won't do it. Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, they won't joke.
No, they won't.
They won't joke about the cannibals, but we will. And this idiot in the White House, he will bring this up again. It's what he does. He tells lies. No one calls him on it. No one jokes about it. And he repeats them. So get ready for more stories about Uncle Bozy. Well, that will do it for today. You're not supposed to say happy Passover, right? I don't even know. But today is Passover.
I don't think so.
I hope all our Jewish friends have a good Passover, enjoy their Passover meal with their families, and stay safe. It is a scary time for Jewish Americans, but hopefully they get to enjoy their time with their families out of harm's way. But that'll do it. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.